Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to Real Life with Rich and Christ. It's been a while since I broadcasted. I think this is the third week. And even this morning, I was just thinking about letting it go, but I just felt the Spirit prompting me to go ahead and do the show. We found out in the last few weeks that my wife, Linda, who deals with diabetes, has been losing her vision. And so we've been dealing with the implications of that. And it's come down to where she is now receiving treatment in the form of injections in her eyes. And what's happened is she's received the first injections of up to 10. And the lady said to her at her first appointment here 2 weeks ago, about 2.5 weeks ago, that don't expect to have any, hope of any vision, your vision getting any better for at least 3 months, and that would be after your third set of injections. Well, Linda started noticing something 3 days later, and she went in the other day, and from the time that she went in until the time she went in the other day to get her vision checked, her vision has increased 100%. And so we're praising God and thanking him for his grace and his mercy. And that's the reason why I haven't been doing the show the last couple of weeks, is because of her appointments and the things that have surrounded that. But I'm back, and this show is about real life stuff, just what I shared with you right now. The real life stuff that people deal with every single day. And it's sickness, and it's disease, and it's loss of job, and it's broken relationships, and it's pain and suffering, and it's all of the things that status quo Christianity doesn't really even want to look at. And yet the Bible, from cover to cover, is full of people who suffered in one way or another. And they dealt with those sufferings in a number of different ways. And the Bible says that we share in his sufferings that we might also share in his glory. And there's a message out there that says you don't have to suffer. Well, if you don't have to suffer, well, then you don't get to share in the glory of God either. Because the suffering is not now, nor has it ever been for the believer who's walking in any kind of maturity about suffering's sake. The suffering is about the grain of wheat that falls to the ground and dies. The parable that Jesus talked about, that except a grain of wheat fall to the ground and die, and it's always good to fall. It abides to itself. It lives for itself. But if that grain of wheat is planted in the ground, and when it's planted, it's put away, it's in a place where you can't see it. It's hidden. And for all intents and purposes, it doesn't seem like it's there. And a lot of times God does that with us. And so we're planted in death, but we're raised up in newness of life. And so whatever you're going through right now, whatever trial it is, maybe it's the same thing I just talked about my wife is going through. Maybe it's financial crisis. Whatever it is, it's God planting you in death so he can raise you up in newness of life. So he can show you that your life is not about you, but your life is about him living his life in and through you for others. Jesus never took one self-preserving thought for himself. Not one. If he would have, he would have ceased being God. He came to earth as other love. The disciples asked him one time, "Show us the Father." Jesus said, "If you've seen me, you've seen the Father." The Father is not a cruel taskmaster. The Father is not some distant and impersonal God up there. Deuteronomy 30 says he lives in us. He's in our heart. He's in our mouth. That's the Word. The Word become flesh. Jesus Christ. And so today I'm passionate about the fact that believers who really want everything that God has for them, are going to have to lose their life in order to save their life. Matthew 16:25. And so God is a God of all grace. And whatever you're dealing with today, your kids are going crazy, or you've got a debilitating illness, or possibly dealing with the loss of your home, or bankruptcy. Whatever it is, it doesn't matter what it is. God is not a performance God. God is not a God who's concerned about behavior or personal performance. God is a God of love. And love doesn't look at itself. Love looks at others. True love is allowing God to live his life in and through us as the branch and the temple and the vessel of God, allowing him to live his life through us and to do through us for others what they need. That's what true love is. That's what real life is about. That's what this ministry is about. I wrote a book about 10 months ago now. And I compiled it about 10 months ago. It's been written over the last three, it was written over 3 years. And it's different teachings. And it's a 31-day deeper life devotional called Rich in Christ. And it's not about me. It's kind of a play on words. It's about the people of God who may not even know that they're rich in Christ. And it's God showing them that's who they really are. And anybody within earshot who's listening to this, and I know there aren't very many, if you contact me, Rich Novick, on Facebook, and just leave me a mailing address, I'll send you a book free and postage paid. And it's not a pamphlet, and it's not a mini book, and it's not an e-book. It's a real book that you can put your hands around, and it costs us money to send it to you, but we would rather have you have it in your hands than the money that concerns it, because our life is all about him. I don't come here with any kind of a scripted message ever. I don't ever come here with a canned sermon. I come here in the spontaneity of the Holy Spirit, what he wants to do in and through me, because he's working in and through me to minister to others. That's what my life is about after 33 years of being a Christian. And to give you an example of the spontaneity of God, last night I was on my walk a couple of years ago. I lost a kidney, almost died twice, had an infection in my spine that almost killed me. And then while I was in the hospital, they found a grapefruit-sized tumor on my kidney. And that could have killed me. That could have been cancerous. But by God's grace, it didn't have any cancer in it. So since that time, I walk. I try to walk about a mile a day. And last night I was on my walk, and I was at a certain point of my walk, and this name just popped into my head. And it was a guy I used to go to high school with. I used to hang out with him and party with him in the 70s, and we were really good friends all the way through elementary school and middle school and high school and even afterwards. And I saw him about 10 years ago, and we hung out. And his name just popped into my head. And so I started praying for him. And I finished my walk, and I walked into the house. And I was just hanging out, writing on Facebook, and the phone rang. And it was this other friend of mine, Gene, who I've known since kindergarten. And together we've been through thick and thin, and we talk on the phone from time to time, and especially after a Vikings game, we'll talk about whether they lost or won, because they're both diehard Vikings fans. And he says, "You got a pen and a paper?" And I said, "Yeah." He goes, "Write down this number." I said, "What's it for?" He said, "Is it another bill collector?" And he goes, "No." He goes, "Someone wants to talk to you." I go, "Gene?" So before saying another word, it's Tim Stresso, isn't it? He goes, "Yeah." I said, "I was walking on my walk, and God dropped his name into my heart. And I was praying for him not even an hour ago. And you call out of the blue, and now you want to give me his name. I haven't talked to the guy, him, in 10 years. I got on the phone with him. We talked. He just lost his job. He's going through some things. And I told him, Tim, I was praying for you not even an hour ago. And this guy who had never talked about God was so grateful that I was thinking about him and praying for him. Guys, that's the spontaneous Christ in us life. It's not about religion. It's about relationships. It's not about rule and ritual. It's about the spontaneous, living, active, breathing word of life who is our life. And all of a sudden, I'm walking down the road, not thinking about anything in particular, and God says, pray for this guy. That doesn't happen to me all the time, but it happened to me last night because I walk and I live and I move and I have my being in him. That's where I live, and we all live there. And we don't have to live with condemnation of the past and fear of the future. I just got done writing a letter to a dear sister who I love and who we in our ministry loves, and we've known her for years. And she's been struggling with when she's going to get it and when she's going to attain to it. And someday I'm going to have it. And I just wrote to her and I told her, everything is yours now pertaining to life and godliness by his precious promises, by his divine power, by his mercy and grace, you have it all. And if God was to give everything we have right now, we'd be blown away. So what he does is he opens the curtain a little bit every day to reveal to us who we really are and what we really have in him. And it has nothing to do with dead letter, performance-based, behavior-based religion. Nothing. Not a thing to do with it. So my wife, Linda, is getting better. Guys, what happened is Romans 8:28 came into play because we've been talking about for years getting healthy, eating healthy, doing the right thing. Well, you know, sometimes God draws a line and he says, okay, now's the time to do it. And how does he do that? By trauma. God introduces trauma into our life for change. And that trauma came in the form of her, the possibility of her losing her vision. And so we stopped eating junk food. About a year ago, we stopped drinking sodas. But now we don't eat junk food. We're not eating fried foods. We're trying to stay away from gluten and all the junk that pollutes our bodies. And we're becoming students of our physical health for the first time in our life. And my wife for the last 3 weeks has been eating the way she's been talking about wanting to eat for the 8 years that we've been married. And she's doing it. And she's doing it effortlessly because the grace of God has given her that power to be able to do that. Spontaneous life of Christ. And it's no longer I who live, it's Christ who lives in me. And the life that I live by the faith of the Son of God. It's his faith in me. It's not some human faith. It's not some worked up, wishful thinking faith. It's the faith of God living his life out in me, his vessel, his cracked pot, if you will. Because that's what we are. We're earthen vessels, and we have this treasure in earthen vessel whose excellency is God, the excellency. We carry around God in these containers that we call our humanity. And we express our humanity as human as we are in every way, and God loves us exactly as we are. That's what this radio program is about. That's what real life with Rich in Christ is about. Is, guys, you're dealing with something today, and you're broken, and yet you may be going into a church building with a fake smile on your face. Who hasn't done that? Okay? Walking around with a fake smile on and trying to be something to everybody else when inside you're crushed. Well, that you're able to be crushed because your greatest asset is your weakness. God gave you the greatest gift, when he showed you you can't do anything apart from him, that your inability to live the Christian life is the greatest revelation you could ever receive. Because when are you going to stop trying until you realize that trying is futility? That's who we are. And God might have a huge storm going on in your life right now, and you have no clue what's going on, and the chaos everywhere, and everything's going to hell in a handbasket. But you know what? It's God's perfect chaos. That's the place where he takes us right up to the Red Sea. He puts us right there at the edge of the edge of the water, and he has an enemy coming at us from behind. We've got nowhere else to go. And the only thing we can do is go through the impossible thing that we see as impossible, and we call the things that be not as though they are, and God opens the door that no man can open. That's what we are. That's who we are in Christ. And it's not about outward appearances, and it's not about attracting crowds, and it's not about the big gatherings or the conferences. It's about the one-on-one heart ministry, like the couple in Bangkok, Thailand, that we're helping right now, and the people that God is bringing to us. It's kind of like a trickle in. They're trickling in, and we believe that the floodgates are going to be open at some point in time, but that's not our business anymore. That's God's business, and we don't market God. We don't advertise God. We don't sell God. We just live our life as we are, and God does the rest, because that's exactly what he promised. He said, you enter into my rest, you rest, and I'll work. For it's God who is at work within us, both to will and to do of his good pleasure. Well, guys, I want to read something out of my book. I'm going to read day 31. Out of my book, Rich in Christ. Now Jesus, when he saw the great throngs around him, gave orders to cross to the other side of the lake. And a scribe came up and said to him, Master, I will follow you wherever you will go. And Jesus replied to him, Foxes have holes, and birds of the air have lodging places, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head. Another of the disciples said to him, Lord, let me go first and bury care for till death my father. But Jesus said to him, follow me and leave the dead in sin and separation to bury their own dead. And after he got into the boat, his disciples followed him. And suddenly, behold, there arose a great storm, so that the boat was being covered up by the waves. But he was sleeping. And they went and awakened him, saying, Lord, rescue and preserve us. That's the cry of man. Preserve me. Matthew 6, guys, Matthew 6 exposes every form of self-preservation known to man. That's what Matthew 6 is all about. We are perishing, he said to them. Why are you timid and afraid, O you of little faith? Then he got up and rebuked the winds and the sea, and there was a great and wonderful calm, a perfect peace. Matthew 8, 20-26, amplified. And the men were stunned with bewildered wonder and marvel, saying, what kind of man is this that even the winds and the sea obey him? Matthew 8:27. This is awesome. This was, in fact, Jesus just being Jesus. He had just finished healing a leper, the centurion's servant, Peter's mom. And all along he was also teaching those whom Matthew describes as the throngs. Jesus always met the people at their point of understanding. He became all things to all men that he might win some, 1 Corinthians 9:22. But then he crossed over to the other side of the lake and commanded the crowd to come with him. Are you kidding me? Jesus is the Galilee version of a rock star. He's healing and teaching. He has groupies following him, and the people are all caught up in all of who he is. This is an amazing scene. Once on the other side, some of his disciples got into the boat with him. There was a great throng, but the fact of the matter is only some can get into the boat. Everyone was still talking about the healings and other miracles, and it's all overwhelming. So now they were on the other side, and Jesus got in the boat. Does anybody besides me think this is a strange thing to do? They got in the boat with Jesus and started out onto the lake, not knowing what was just ahead. And suddenly there arose a great storm or tempest or hurricane. Some say it was something like a mini hurricane or a tornado. I've been in both, and they are both frightening. And I can just bet they were much worse than a small boat in the middle of a huge lake. Jesus was tired and nobody noticed it because they were caught up in all of the excitement of the storm. But if you remember back to what Jesus said to the scribe after he promised Jesus, I will follow you wherever you go. Hey guys, foxes have and birds have a place to sleep, and I also need to take a nap. So he got in the boat and he went to sleep. A hurricane consists of two air masses, one hot and one cold. It builds energy as it moves across the ocean, sucking up warm, moist, tropical air from the surface and dispensing cooler air aloft. God manifested himself in various forms of fire on many different occasions. The following are just a few. In the covenant with Abraham, Genesis 15:17; the burning bush, Exodus 3:2-4; the pillar of fire, Exodus 13:21; on Mount Sinai, Exodus 19:18; and in the flame on the altar, Judges 13:20. There are two different dynamics happening in the above passage in Matthew. Jesus is sleeping in the great storm, and the disciples are in fear of losing their lives. Jesus is at rest from his work, and the disciples are thinking only of saving their own skins. Jesus is the hot air mass of God, and the disciples are the cold air mass of fear and unbelief. When these two separate negative and positive air masses come together, all hell breaks loose. I wonder if the scribe who told Jesus, I will follow you wherever you will go, was still on the boat. Well, Jesus finally woke up, and then he reminded the disciples that they were fearing the storm as though it was something separate from God. And then he showed them who he was, and he calmed the storm they had been so afraid of. All was well. During this little trip to hell and back, he was showing them something important, which was no matter how powerful the storms of our lives seem to be, the only true, the place of the true activity of God takes place is where we are resting in him. And as long as they were seeing the storm as being separate from God, all they could expect is the turmoil and chaos the storm produced, along with the fear. As long as they saw anything as being separate from him, their unbelief would continue to produce storms in their lives. Yeah. We are perishing. And if you ever forget the Lord your God and walk after other gods and serve them and worship them, I testify against you this day that you shall surely perish like the nations, people, which the Lord makes to perish before you. So shall you perish because you wouldn't listen to the voice of the Lord your God. In the same way Jesus was at rest in the boat being a picture of his Father, we were created to rest in him. We were also designed to serve and worship only one God at one time. The light of the body is the eye, and therefore if thy eye be single, thy whole body shall be full of light. But if thy eye be evil, thy whole body shall be full of darkness. If therefore the light that is in you be is darkness, how great is that darkness? No man can serve two masters, for either you'll hate the one, love the other, or you'll hold to the one and despise the other. You can't serve God and mammon. Matthew 6:22-24. Nor can we serve God and anything else. The disciples saw more than Jesus in the storm, and because of the coldness, little faith of seeing themselves separated from Jesus, there was no other choice than to see the great storm as their only reality. The only real storm is when we still see ourselves as being separate from God. It's in this place where the storm has no choice but to manifest itself. The storm has only one real purpose, which is to be the vehicle that God uses to cause us to see Jesus. In the middle of the impossible situation, circumstance, relationship, or financial crisis, the place where we cannot rescue ourselves and where we see Christ as our only life. And who is he? He is as we are, complete and lacking nothing. As he is, so are we in this world, 1 John 4:17. Being the calm in our storm would be enough if this were the end of the story, but the grace of God, which always flows to the lowest place and always becomes all things to all men, moved from being the all-consuming storm to the God of all comfort for the people in the boat. The only way for the hurricane to lose its power is when the two hot and cold air masses cease being two and become one. Jesus, the hot air mass of God, willingly stood in the gap and removed the illusion of the storm for his disciples. The storm had to cease because it could not exist in one. The one who sees the truth of there being no separation or division in him. We are to go about our Father's business of being who we are and exactly as God created us to be in him. It's here where we not only allow the Spirit in us to dispel our storms, but the storms of others as well, the others who do not yet see Christ as the all-in-all who fills everything in every way. That's from my book. It's the day 31 in my devotional, and the title of that is There Arose a Great Storm. And so, guys, that's it. That's the storm. The storm is the absolute positive and the absolute negative coming together and creating that chaos. But you know what? God is the one who swallows up the negative. He's the positive in everything. That battery has to have a positive terminal and a negative terminal. But its end result is power. And a negative repel each other in the same way a positive and a positive. So when you go through life thinking that you're independent of God and you can do your own thing and you can live for yourself, you go through life as a false positive, and that's where it says God has to resist you. So we embrace our weakness and we say, I will boast. If I'm going to boast, I'm going to boast in the things that pertain to my weakness so that his power will work in and through my life. That's all that Christianity is. Any other form of Christianity, the different gospel which Paul talks about in 2 Corinthians chapter 11 and Galatians 1, is talking about a perversion of this truth that I'm telling you right now, is the only true Christianity that exists. And so, guys, this is all that we do. We release what we're holding on to. We rest in the fact that we're loved unconditionally, and we couldn't be loved any more than we are right now. And then we put ourselves in a position to receive the life of God every second of every day as he wills. He brings what he wants to bring into our path, and we call it God, no matter what it looks like, no matter what it feels like. Because we don't live by appearances, we live by faith. And anything apart from faith, it says in Romans 14, is sin. Figure that one out. Anything apart from his faith, from absolute and total reliance on his faith in us, that's what sin is. And there is no other sin but that. So on this side of the cross, we don't have sin. On this side of the cross, we don't have a sin consciousness. We have a consciousness where we see God only in all things. Only God, only now. Well, guys, this is Rich in Christ, real life with Rich in Christ. Just share with you 30 minutes of real life stuff, starting with the real life stuff I'm dealing with. But I'm casting all my cares on him because I know he cares for me. And I'm watching him more than me. So if you want a free book, just leave your mailing address at the Rich Novek, N-O-V-E-K, Facebook site in a private message. Father, I ask God that this word would pierce the hearts and that, God, you'd open the hearts and the minds of those, the hearers, Lord, that their lives would be transformed today in Jesus' name. Thank you, guys, and I'll be back again next week with real life. The Rich in Christ. God bless.